Well, as my guest and longtime acquaintance, Kristen Cusato, said before we put on the microphone, things are starting to get a little crazy. We're moving into mid and late September, and that means lots of opportunities to put your feet to the floor and to the road and to the mat and go to work on behalf of the Alzheimer's Association Connecticut chapter. They have a number of different walks and a lot of education to talk about. The Alzheimer's Association really leads the way to end Alzheimer's and all other dementia by accelerating global research, driving risk education and early detection, and maximizing quality care and support. We'll talk to Kristen and let you know where you might get involved, somewhere close to home or somewhere easy to get to, so that you can help support the cause. But we want to also remind you that it's not too late to be part of the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven's Progreso Latino Fund event. They are presenting an empowering dialogue on Latino representation in philanthropy. This dialogue is going to explore the latest trends, how the Progreso Latino Fund and our community members are working together to change the narrative of Latinas being seen on the receiving end of philanthropy to being the philanthropists themselves, as well as opportunities to grow your Latina philanthropic voice. It's happening on Thursday, September 26th at the New Haven Lawn Club on Whitney Avenue here in New Haven. Doors open at 5:30 and the program begins at 6 with a reception to follow. If you'd like to learn more, as we said, it's still not too late to register. Just visit the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven's website at cfgnh.org. All right. So as we said a few moments ago, Kristen Cusato is back with us here on the award-winning For the People. This is, gosh, it's got to be what, 10, 12 times, Kristen, since you went to work with the Alzheimer's Association of Connecticut chapter. And you're also a New England research champion, which probably a lot of folks may not know. Please remind us about your journey and experience with Alzheimer's and what gave you the inspiration to make this a career for yourself.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on, John. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I was one of you. I was a broadcaster for 24 years of my career. And I was actually on TV in San Diego in 2009 when, after a number of doctor's appointments and various things with my mom back here in New York, it was determined that she had dementia. She was diagnosed with a type of dementia called Lewy body, which is the same type that Robin Williams had. Mm. And that was in 2009, and she was 61. Immediately, the decision was made to come back and help her and be with her through this journey. She was my best friend. So I left my job in San Diego and came back here and was fortunate to get back on Channel 8 for a couple of years doing the morning show and with Chris Velarde. And then decided to go into the field working with the Alzheimer's Association. Mm. It is, I always say that, my mom passed away 4 years after her diagnosis. And I always say that she continued me by providing me with a second career. Mm. So now I go out and I share about this disease. I do a lot of the media, making sure there's awareness out there and helping people to share their story. Going through the different processes and different stages of the disease and also as caregivers and research champion means I'm not a researcher or a doctor or a nurse, but I learn about a lot of the research that we fund as the Alzheimer's Association and share it because I think it's important to know what's up and coming and what medications are happening and how people can get involved in clinical trials to help the advancements continue. Yeah. In this field.
Well, as a kindred spirit who was trying to find a direction in a career in the motion picture and music industry, a few clicks north up in L.A. Back in the late 80s, and finding out that my mom with multiple sclerosis had begun to take a turn for the worse, and giving up those aspirations to come back here and finding this work on radio these 30-some odd years ago. I guess I could blame mom for for delivering a career for me here in Connecticut that I may have never found, or may have been much harder fought on the streets of Los Angeles than it would have been here on the streets of New Haven. So we both got that going for us. So thanks, moms, for that. Yeah. God bless them. We have been hearing, I'm telling you, I remember our early visits. And we would talk about this big gray cloud of what's to be, hope, full of hope, but not a lot of delivery. We are seeing an acceleration in Alzheimer's research and delivery of products and pharmaceutical and scientific developments over the past 3 to 5 years that are just mind-boggling. Can you unpack that a little bit and put it in perspective from your position, kind of watching it all unfold as someone who's got a stake in the game, but who is not a researcher herself?
Absolutely, and I appreciate you acknowledging that. It's not necessarily an acceleration, but yet it is 20 years of work coming to fruition, right? You can't just pop on and say, okay, next year we're going to have a drug. That doesn't work. It takes 15 years sometimes to get a medication to the point where it can go to humans, right? So also thinking about and talking about timing, the fact that we're a very young organization, the Alzheimer's Association started in 1980. So this is when things start picking up of people actually talking about this, that it's actually something we can work with. We can maybe do some lifestyle interventions, we're learning now, talking about brain health, things we didn't talk about back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. And also like a really young organization as far as getting funding from the government. So that's also an interesting point. Back when I started in 2010, it's like $500 million that was given, thanks to the people, right, to Alzheimer's research. Now we're into the billions. So it's very exciting. And why? Because now there are 7 million people in the U.S. living with this disease. And that's only the folks we know of. Here in Connecticut, it's 80,000. But yes, we are in an era of treatment. In the last couple of years, we have had 3 drugs approved by the FDA that actually do more than just deal with symptoms. These medications, they're called monoclonal antibodies, and I won't go super crazy, but just know that they can go into the brain of someone who is in the early stages of the disease and start to pull away or break down the amyloid plaques, which is one of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's.
Sort of the nitroglycerin in the mix, right?
The plaques,
it is the heart.
It's not the same as the plaques in the heart.
No, it's the nerve coatings, right? The substance that's coating the nerves. There's now science that has presented something that will begin to undo that.
Right. It kind of cleaves off and gets into these bunches and they kind of get it in the way. Right. So I liken it to a rubber band ball that's kind of in between where the synapses can't talk to each other, can't connect because of this gunk that's in there. Mm. And also the second hallmark is a tau tangle, which is inside the nerve cell itself. And that kind of attacks the nerve from the inside and kills it. So that way, if you were to see a brain after several years of the disease, you'll see that it's atrophied because of some of those cells dying. Mm. So these medications that have been approved by the FDA are going in there and removing some of these amyloid plaques. It's not perfect. It's not for everyone, but it is. There were 3 and now there's only 2 on the market. But this year was a second one. Each generation of this drug is getting better and better with the data. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? That means we're in a place where we may be able to keep people at a certain place for a while and give them more time. Again, this is for folks in the early stages, and this is why very, very important to talk about why it's important to get diagnosed early. You have to get diagnosed early in this process because this has only been tested on people early in the disease process, people who can tolerate one or twice a month infusion for an hour. So it's an infusion medication. Also, you've got to have PET scans and MRI scans and various types of, so you have to be able to tolerate being in an MRI, that kind of thing. So that's in part why it's got to be early. And also afterwards, you take cognitive tests to see if things are, you know, how is your score? How are your scores? How are your memory? Is this helping reduce the cognitive decline? But it's somewhere we've never been. So it's very, very exciting to think about the fact that there are medication now. And I just got back from a giant, giant science conference. And there's so many other things going on, including looking at blood biomarkers. Like, could we eventually have a blood test so that people don't have to get a PET scan or they don't have to get a lumbar puncture to for sure diagnose this disease? So wouldn't it be amazing if that were to be the case? Also looking at more environmental things, right? Looking at the wild things like wildfire smoke apparently is worse for your brain than smog and car exhaust. Things like looking at a drug that is similar to those weight loss drugs, Ozempic, the ones that are diabetes drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy, that they were looking into that early stages. Could that reduce cognitive decline? So just all sorts of fascinating things. Also, these two medications that are approved in a different state, could they be used as a preventive, i.e., we were just talking about heart. If you have a heart issue or high blood, high blood pressure. If you have high cholesterol, you may take a statin. Would it be interesting if they see that you have higher levels of amyloid and you could take one of these drugs to as a, almost a preventive? So it's just a fascinating place looking at, there's a big study called the U.S. Pointer Study that's been going on for a couple of years. And that is all lifestyle-based. Exercise, nutrition, certain amount of cognitive and social stimulation. Making sure your blood pressure is in check, making sure your blood sugar isn't too high. And then they're going to, you know, after a couple of years, see if these lifestyle interventions help reduce risk. So really, really interesting stuff, all sorts of stuff going on, looking at AI, looking at the iris of your eye, retina of your eye to see if that can help with diagnosis. It's just the field. We're finding out more and we're really excited. And we're also just grateful because people come to the walk who donate, right? And get their friends to donate to the walk and their walk team. A lot of this money goes to research. That's really critical.
Well, we've got, you know, as you said, 80,000 Connecticut friends, neighbors, moms, dads, now sadly, daughters, sons. It's affecting people at a much younger age, so we're seeing that 80,000 multiplied across the landscape of their families and their friends and their workplace. And this explains why Connecticut is such a spectacular place for the Alzheimer's Association and does so much to help support these successes we're already seeing on the scientific side by being able to fuel the research with funding. And that's where, as you said, these walks come in. And let's spend the last 3 or 4 minutes that we have with you just calling people out to these walks, because there are so many across the state over the next few weeks. They are just about to begin, and in the next few weeks, somebody somewhere is going to be able to go somewhere close to home and be part of the solution here. Let's hear about it.
Absolutely. So we've got 6 walks coming up in Connecticut. Starts on September 22nd at New Fairfield High School. That's a new site for us. Then we go down into the New London area on September 28th. We're at Ocean Beach Park. September 29th, that next day, we're in New Haven and Lighthouse Point Park. October 19th, we're in Bristol, Central Connecticut. October 27th is the big Fairfield walk down Fairfield County walk in Norwalk at Calf Pasture Beach. And then we wrap up at Rentschler Field in Hartford, East Hartford, on the 9th of November. And here's also something. Not only does the money go to research, but we, John, at the association have an 800 number, which is 800-272-3900, that anyone can call 24/7 about any question about dementia. We have support groups that are free. We have education classes that are free. We have programs for those in the early stages of the disease so they can be around other folks We do advocacy to make sure that Connecticut lawmakers know what people need. They need respite grants. They need different things for people who are younger onset. So there's a lot going on in the field. There's a lot of programs that we offer, and we want everyone to know this is important. You don't have to go through this alone. We are here for caregivers, and we want you to know. So just come to a walk. You may want to stay on the periphery initially and just kind of peek in, but you'll see thousands of people all holding up these beautiful flowers, showing you that you are not alone. I likened it the other day to, it's almost like you could crowd surf. It's almost like we could carry you. You jump in and you say, I don't know. Big purple crowd. I don't know what to do here. We've got you. We will carry you. We'll get you safely through. Just don't do it alone.
Great. And I'm glad you pointed it out, and we do need to visit the subject for just a few moments if we could. And that is, you know, we say Alzheimer's Association Connecticut chapter. There are these chapters all over the country, and that means there's a lot of ability to influence lawmakers at a very hyper-local level. How are we doing in the Connecticut State House in terms of supporting the research and the other various avenues needed by our 80,000-plus Alzheimer's, folks who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's here in Connecticut.
Yeah. What's really great is that we do have something called an Advocacy Day, where we bring about 100 people to the to the Capitol, and we turn it purple, and we just talk to all the lawmakers about what's important. And in the past, we've been able to add dementia training to some doctors and nurses when they go to get their licenses renewed. We have been able to add money to the respite fund, state respite. It is so critical for caregivers to get a break, because if they don't, they implode. This is a 24/7 job, and their person is consistently changing. So what would be great is actually adding more money to the respite fund, where they could apply for this and they could go take a break. They could have their have a care person come in and an aide and watch them so they can go take a nap, take a walk, take a breath.
Self-care.
Self-care, which is so, so critical. Yep. Maybe go take a nap. My friend would literally go and take a nap while she had an aide in. There have been other things like trying to get insurance coverage for various things, including this medication, including testing blood biomarkers that I was talking about. So there's a lot of work going on the state level that's happening all year round. And we're always looking for volunteers, not only to advocate, but also to teach our classes. I mean, it's know the 10 signs. We got to know what those are before, you know, you take yourself to the doctor or your loved one. Mm-hmm. What are the memory changes that require you to go to the doctor? What is it, not finding your car? Probably not that, not finding your car in the parking lot. Is it not being able to get home from the grocery store? Yeah, that's a concern. Mm-hmm. So what is it, and how do we look for it, and how do we identify? And then what doctor do we go to first? So there's a lot of information. Always looking for volunteers to help us teach in the community, and also looking for volunteers to help us with the walks. The walks are a beautiful community-driven event, and we'd love for you to come to anyone that works for your schedule. Just go to alz.org/walk.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Casado is with the Alzheimer's Association Connecticut chapter and is a New England research champion with that organization, the Alzheimer's Association, and all who are supporting it and receiving benefits from it are envisioning a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. You can lend your feet and your spirit to this big purple wave and hopefully bring a future, near future, successes in the research and science field on behalf of Connecticut's 80,000 individuals who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's each year and the millions across our country. Kristen, thank you so much. Great to hear your voice again, and we'll be talking to you again soon. And
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.